as I've been in church most of my life. And many pastors that I've heard have preached from Proverbs 31:10, which is, a good wife, who can one find? Very simply put, I have to tell you that I'm pretty tired of it. So today I want to just tap into the full range of scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament, that teaches us not only how to be a good mother, but also how to be great mentors and teachers. And most importantly, the scriptures remind us that we need to be followers of Jesus Christ. For Christ sets the perfect example of how we are to be and who we are to be. So while we journey through the scriptures today, we'll use something that the women, at least, most of us enjoy, which is flowers. I had a mother-in-law that didn't like flowers, I admit. But we enjoy, I think, the things that God has created, flowers and fruit and spices and beautiful things that are part of God's creation. Now, on Mother's Day, we often use flowers to honor our mothers. And as I was working on this sermon, I found that the culture associates meaning with the flowers. And so all of the flowers that we give to others, we're giving, just showing them that we love them and that we appreciate them, but they have some sort of meaning attached to them. And I want to just refer you, please, to your bulletin insert and show you on the insert the different flowers that we have and the meaning that's associated with them. And then let's take a look at the scripture and see what God has to say about the virtues of a good mother, a good mentor, a good teacher. So we want to start with the very famous passage from 1 Corinthians 13. And normally we use this in weddings. And it says that love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And we know that as mothers and mentors and stepmothers and teachers, we have to have these qualities in our lives to be wonderful and beautiful mothers and teachers and protectors. So if we look at the words that stand out, protect and heal. And we know that the aloe plant is a healer. I put down here some lotion that has aloe in it. And if you smooth it on, it helps to heal your skin. Mothers, how many times have you helped to heal your child putting Band-Aids on boo-boos and kissing them? How many times have you prayed for your child to be healed or for someone else's child to be healed? And how many times were you the only one that was praying for that person, that child? It's so important to protect and to heal. And it says trust, always trust. Lily of the Valley represents trust. Love always trusts. Sometimes we trust our children a little too much, maybe. But it's good to trust. And God teaches us first to trust in Him and then to trust each other. Hope. Hope is the daisy. We have kind of dyed ones here, but daisies. Daisies are so beautiful, and we need hope. Sometimes it's difficult to have hope in really strange and challenging times. I know you've been through it. You've been through challenging times, and you've had to hope against hope that God would bring you through it. But God is asking us to have hope. And then perseverance. Perseverance is a white rose. Many of you have persevered through deep health issues, through financial challenges. You've kept going. You've leaned on the Lord. You've trusted in Him. You've persevered. So we'll stay with white roses for a minute. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. to be praised. So fearing the Lord also means having reverence for the Lord. If we have reverence for the Lord, then we teach our children to have reverence for the Lord. In fact, children, that's probably, no matter how old you are, the reason that you're here today is because your mother taught you to have reverence for the Lord. And maybe you're here because you're honoring her today and all that she's taught you. So you've come to church because of your mom, because of all that she's taught you about the Lord, having reverence for the Lord. As we move on to 2 Corinthians 6:6, we see that as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness. And those who love children need these qualities. Patience is chamomile. So I want to know who the mom with the most children is here today. How many moms, raise your hand if you have 3 children. Marianne. Yeah, you have 3. Okay. Is there anybody that has, oh yeah, hi. Anybody that has 4 children? Oh, there you are, Miss Cynthia Flanagan. Have you had to have... Cynthia says she wants to apologize to the community for her children. You know what? It takes understanding to be able to figure that child out, and lots of patience and lots of prayer. And when you begin to understand that child is like a flower that just opens up and thrives because of your love and your understanding. Understanding is also wisdom, and that is sage, the spice sage. So we celebrate wisdom and understanding. Kindness is a bluebell. How many times have you had to return some maybe interesting phrases coming at you with kindness? Turn the other cheek, and you might get thrown up on. No. But sometimes you have to return those kind of harsh words and that unkindness with kindness when you have children and when you're dealing with other children, especially that aren't yours even. Children rely on their parents to help them when they're afraid and calm their fears. When parents help to calm a child's fears, they begin to trust their Heavenly Father will do this for them as well. You're the first thing, parents, that children see. And when you teach them to respect God and teach them to trust in God, and teach them that God protects, then they're going to carry that through life. They need you to show them the way. So, one of the things that parents do is bring consolation. 94:19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Your comfort. Now, little children especially need this kind of comfort. And so I know today we have with us some very young parents. And so I would like to ask all of you that have babies who are here today that have a baby under a year old, if you'll just raise your hand right now.
Before I even get back there.
My daughter calls when she needs comfort, and I try to give that to her. Psalm 29:1, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. You need strength. You need strength every day. Strength is time, the spice time. I was talking to Ruth Ann Holcomb at the first service, and I said, you know, when I was thinking about strength, I thought of you. And I was talking to some people in the office about these qualities, and I said, who reminds you of strength? And they said, Ruth Ann Holcomb. Ruth Ann Holcomb, strong. Thyme and oak trees. I told her to come and collect her thyme later on. Jeremiah 12:3. Yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. You not only think often about the Lord, but you share your thoughts with your children. Thoughts of you is the pansy. And so we have thoughts of God. And it's so important that we show our children how to pause and spend time with God. How we need to show our children how to slow down in this busy world where so much is pulling at us. I mean, we could go 24/7, couldn't we? All the time we're going, going, going. But it's so important to pause and have thoughts of God. Thoughts of God, the pansy. 3 John 1:2. Dear friend, I pray that you might enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gives me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. So faithfulness is violets and cumin. It's so important that we remain faithful all of our days to the Lord and that our children see this. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Gentleness, a pink rose. We have to be gentle, even when our children are not gentle with us or when harsh words are given, we have to return it with gentleness. Matthew 13:19, what is our hope, our joy, or a crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord God when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Joy. You exhibit joy, and it's contagious. This week, as I was putting this sermon together, when I found all of these qualities and I found the scriptures that went with them, I started praying for you. And I found that I could put a member of the congregation with every one of these words. And I found joy. And I thought about people that brought joy. And as I have found these words, I've prayed for each one of you by name that the Lord would increase these qualities in your lives. And that he would bring you more and more of these qualities. And I pray that he brings you more and more joy. Joy is the yellow rose. 2 Corinthians 9:2, for I know of your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Acacia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Enthusiasm, an orange rose. Some of you have great enthusiasm, and I think you can think about the people in this church that are enthusiastic and that spur us to action. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. Regard for those who work hard. The daffodil. 2 Corinthians 1:2, now it is our boast, our conscience testifies we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. As parents, don't we have to rely on God's grace often, frequently, every day, every moment. Godly sincerity, the fern. I dug that up in the creek bed. The fern. I could go on. I'm going to say lavender is for devotion. Hydrangea for gratitude. Lilac, joy in the youth. Lemon, sympathetic. Basil, good wishes. Chrysanthemum, cheerfulness. Pine, humility. Remembrance, rosemary. Pink carnations, not forgotten. We don't forget those mothers who have gone before us. Many of us today think about our mothers. We know they're in heaven, and we miss them, and we cherish them. They're not forgotten. I have forget-me-nots up there for that. It's such a blessing, those who have gone before us, that we honor and remember. Coriander, hidden worth. There are many of us that do things all the time, and nobody else knows. We do it for God because we love Him. We do it for our children because we sacrifice for them. Hidden worth. So important, many of us. I want to close by sharing a true story that ended this week. And it's about a friend of mine who came to this church 2.5 years ago. And she and her husband were just stopping here on their way to Texas. He preached for us. And she was writing a book, which she completed, but then it ended up not being completed because God gave her a new mission. So my friend's name is Sharon, and Sharon and her husband went to Texas to be house parents for a group of troubled girls. And recently, Sharon had the opportunity to walk away from this position and go back into her career where she would be starting at $80,000 a year. And Sharon wanted to walk away badly. For the last 2 years, she had been verbally abused and emotionally drained almost every day. She said it kind of gets to you after a while. Not to mention, she says, you kind of get pulled in 12 different directions by young ladies who are broken and can be very, very mean. Sharon cried out to God saying, I've got to have an answer about taking this position. Do you want me to stay or can I please leave now? Have I completed the work that you gave me with these children? Her answer came last week when she was spending some quiet time with God. She had been praying for a couple of weeks, and God guided her, as He always has, to Scripture. It was Acts 18, 9 and 10, which said, don't be afraid, speak out, don't quit, for I am with you and no one can harm you. This is what Sharon needed to hear. Don't quit. Then the miracle came as she bowed her head and said, okay, God, it's your decision. My life belongs to you. You must still have work for me to do here. So, one of the girls who was graduating in 2 weeks, who she had been working with for 1.5 years now, longer than anyone else on campus, was graduating. The young girl had been Sharon's most difficult youth. She cussed her out every week. She refused to go to church. She also refused to do her chores. And she challenged Sharon about everything. The young lady had made a decision. She wasn't going to college, even though her entire tuition was to be paid for and she was going to have a free place to stay. Instead, She thought she would make it on her own, which meant she would be living on the street or in a homeless shelter. Now, that seems like a pretty stupid decision to us, doesn't it? Yeah. But Sharon says, we haven't lived the life that this young woman had lived. Now, Sharon told her supervisor that she wanted one more try to talk to the girl to convince her to go to college. Everyone else had stopped trying. In fact, they were already looking for a homeless shelter for her to live in. Sharon asked God to help her, and she began a conversation with the young woman. By the end of the evening, the young woman agreed to go to the nearby technical college. She asked Sharon, "Will you come and visit me? Will you come and get me on Sundays and take me to church?" Sharon said, "Yes, whatever you need, I'll be there for you." The young woman's reply was, "You know, Miss Sharon, you've been more of a mother to me than my own mother ever was. I claim you as my mother." Later, Sharon bowed her head and said, "Thank you, God. I know why you needed me to stay." She said, "Saving a child's life is more precious than any amount of money I could ever receive." Sharon is mother to 22 girls and her two sons, which are grown. 1 Corinthians 13:13 reminds us that the greatest gift of all these that we have mentioned today is love. Today, I like this rose that I got at the dollar store for Sharon. For the greatest gift is love. And you give it, mothers. You give it, stepmothers and teachers and mentors. I praise God for you. I praise God for you. And I pray for you, as I have this week, that more and more and more you will seek Jesus Christ. And you will seek to follow in his footsteps, using all the virtues and qualities that have been mentioned in these scriptures today. And I invite you to go home and even meditate more. Read these scriptures and meditate more on the ways that Jesus is calling us to live. It makes all the difference. And it is the most important thing we will ever do. I praise God. Bless you, mothers. Bless you, one and all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have the blessing of welcoming some folks into membership in our congregation. And so I would like to now invite Bob Harris and Lily Harris to come forward, if you will, and just stand before the altar. The rest of you, I invite to take up your blue hymnals and to turn to page 40 in your hymnals.
Have a resemblance, don't they?
All right. Thank you. Debbie's going to lead us as we do our final hymn, The Spirit Song, number 347. The Spirit Song, number 347. Let us stand.